Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and time now for a check of the weather. Looking at the 10-day forecast, we have sub-zero temperatures beginning this weekend and stretching into next week. For this, you can thank a weather pattern known as the polar vortex. You may remember last hearing about the polar vortex back in 2019.
A dangerous and deadly polar vortex is sweeping the coldest air in a generation into the country's midsection.
Chicago will be colder today than parts of the Arctic Circle.
But as we talk about just how cold it is, we're talking about some deadly potential temperatures here. Look out at the river. This is the iconic Chicago River. It is frozen over.
The forecast over the next couple days there could break a 34-year-old record from 1985 when the low was negative 20.
While the snow may be ending, the cold is just starting.
Last week, we spoke about the polar vortex with Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford, who's based at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and Carl Schreck, a weather scientist with NC State University and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Centers for Environmental Information. Given the forecast, we wanted to replay that conversation for you today as Illinois braces for another wave of extreme cold. Here now is my conversation from last week. So, Carl, I want to begin with you. Is the polar vortex a weather event in the way we usually think of those, or is it something else?
It's kind of more of a climate feature. The polar vortex is something that's kind of always there. Primarily when meteorologists talk about the polar vortex, we're talking about the stratospheric polar vortex, which happens about 18 miles above the surface. And it's like a big low pressure system with kind of like a jet stream that goes from west to east and goes around the northern hemisphere. And it's similar and somewhat related to the jet stream that we're more familiar with here in the troposphere. Like it's more like 7 to 9 miles above the surface where the airplanes fly. And again, it's something that is pretty much always there, but sometimes it has significant deviations or changes where it weakens or moves off of the North Pole. And that's when it usually makes the headline.
So this is more like, I guess you'd say, an ocean current than a hurricane, right? To use an analogy, something that's always there, just maybe shifts around and affects things. Trent, in 2019, when Illinois had those record low temperatures, what happened with the polar vortex that led to that here?
Yeah, so we had, similar to what Carl talked about, a deviation from a typical position, the strength of the stratospheric polar vortex, and even though it's occurring as you mentioned, 18 miles in the above the surface, it affects where that very cold polar air near the surface moves down into the mid latitudes. And here in the Midwest and across much of the eastern U.S., we were just the unlucky souls to have that very cold branch of that polar air come down from the Arctic and break records across Illinois, and so it was definitely quite an event. We actually set the statewide record low minimum temperature of minus 38 degrees there in Mount Carroll on January 31st of 2019 because of that.
Wow, minus 38 degrees. What causes a split like that? Is there some sort of discrete thing we can point to, or is it more mysterious than that?
Yeah, so the split in the polar vortex is it's often caused by what's called a sudden stratospheric warming, which is initially caused by these large scale atmospheric waves called Rossby waves, if folks have heard of those before. And those can sometimes get pretty high in the atmosphere, breaking onto the stratospheric vortex, which is causing a weakening or in some cases a reversal of the typical west to east winds of the vortex, and leading some cold air to descend closer to the surface, warming up very quickly, and overall weakening the polar vortex. So we can get the containment of that very cold air in the Arctic or around the North Pole in the wintertime can begin to spread outward and affect areas that aren't used to, as you mentioned, minus 38 degree temperatures.
Carl, I wonder, what is the polar vortex doing now? What's happening up there?
Yeah, so we've had another one of these warming events where the stratosphere over the North Pole has gotten warmer, and it's really weakened the polar vortex. As I mentioned, the jet stream up there, the vortex usually blows from west to east, and we've had several days in the last month where it actually slowed down to the point where it was going east to west on average. So it was significantly slower than normal. And that's kind of resulted in part of it breaking off and moving more towards towards Europe, the European side of the hemisphere. And so they've had some particularly cold temperatures over there. It hasn't broken off as much on our side just yet, but that's certainly a possibility.
So, Carl, you write the monthly, as I mentioned earlier, the monthly synoptic discussion talks about the drivers behind temperature and precipitation patterns for the past month. How much of what we're seeing with the polar vortex is tied to climate change? I mean, are you noticing changes in weather patterns?
Yeah, that's a really complicated thing, and it's one of the ones that we're spending a lot of effort trying to better understand, because certainly the pole is warming faster than really anywhere else on the planet. And so that really changes the dynamics of things like the polar vortex that kind of gets its strength in part from the difference in temperature from the North Pole and from us down here in North America. And so as the North Pole warms faster than we do, the polar vortex has been weakening overall. But as to, you know, whether it's making these warming events more or less frequent, I'm not sure that we have those answers yet. That's still something that we're looking at.
Oh, and that was going to be my next question then. So I wondered if these differences in temperatures could cause more of this splitting or breaking off more frequently, but you're saying we just don't know.
Yeah, it's likely that it would as that temperature difference decreases, as the North Pole warms, that the polar vortex is likely to weaken. And so we may see more of these events, but it's still something that's a little bit harder to determine.
Trent, I wonder, when you hear people talking about things like this, sometimes you hear people say, oh, well, look, there's this really cold weather, so how could global warming be a problem? And then you get into people saying, like, well, maybe we should be calling it global weirding or weirding of the weather, not warming of the weather. What do you make of how these events are discussed in, you know, media contexts, political contexts, if you're willing to go there?
Yeah, no, I think there's two distinct issues there. One is the kind of use of global warming and climate change as a synonym, right? Global warming is the increase in global average temperatures we've witnessed over the last 100 years. Climate change is a change in a regional climate, like a region such as Illinois, and it's directly due to global warming. So some regions have been getting wetter, most have been getting warmer. If you look at, for example, summertime maximum temperature trends here in Illinois over the last 100 years, they haven't really changed all that much. And so the fact that it's called global warming is only referring to that increase in global average temperature. The climate change is really what we're focusing on here. As far as the difference between weather and climate, you know, we still have weather variability imposed on background changes in our climate. So I like to say a lot of times to my students, you know, climate is what you expect and weather is what you get. We expect it to get colder in the winter, warmer in the summer, and wetter and drier at certain times of the year. But there is weather variability on top of that. So despite, for example, consistent increases in winter temperatures in Illinois over the last 100 years, we broke the all-time low temperature just 2 years ago. And so that is still a distinct possibility despite that warming.
Interesting. So Trent, when you look at something like polar vortex or Arctic blast, whatever you want to call it, that's, I think, a great Gatorade flavor. What effect does that have on the economy and the infrastructure of Illinois when we do get these extreme cold temperatures?
Yeah. So infrastructure wise, you know, I mean, much of our infrastructure is built to a certain temperature code. And so when we get those very, very low temperatures, especially when they come on very quickly in the middle of what is otherwise a mild winter, it can create some serious issues as far as infrastructure, rail, for example. The metal in the rail doesn't react well to that cold of temperature and that quick of a temperature change. Same thing with concrete and asphalt pavement. And so infrastructure-wise, buildings even, it can create a serious problem. Also, our energy providers and water managers, you know, they're making decisions on seasonal to annual timescales. And so, you know, we have a certain amount of energy demand that's expected based off of the last 30 years or so of average temperatures. And when we get those very rapid dips in temperature to the, you know, minus tens to teens, we see a spike in energy because of folks just trying to heat their homes to keep it at a reasonable temperature. And so that creates a major issue as well. So overall, these cold events, although they're not thought of as disasters or hazards in the same extent as flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, they are very hazardous, not only to human health, but infrastructure and economically as well.
I can remember them lighting the train tracks on fire in Chicago, I think the Metro tracks, in order to keep them functioning. You mentioned that's a potential point of weakness in the infrastructure. I also wanted to ask Trent just briefly about, I mean, we think about heat waves, and obviously there was the terrible heat wave that resulted in hundreds of deaths in Chicago in 1995. We talked about that last year on the show on the 25th anniversary. Are extreme cold events as dangerous? Is this something that we should be thinking more about and preparing for?
Well, extreme cold events can certainly be as dangerous as heat waves, especially to those who don't have access to warmer areas or areas to warm up at night, similar to cool down centers for heat waves during the day. One thing we have been seeing, though, across the state is an overall decrease in what we consider very cold nights. Those are nights where the temperature dips either below freezing or in some cases into the teens. And because of that background warming I mentioned before in the winter, we have seen a decrease in those very cold nights. However, I should mention that it is, as I mentioned before, because of weather variability, it is still very possible to get very, very low temperatures during the day and night, especially in the northern parts of the state. And so although we have witnessed warming over the last century, cold air outbreaks and cold waves are still an important hazard to consider for planning.
Sure. Okay, Carl, probably the last question. We've only got about a minute and a half left in our segment, but do you have any predictions or if you want to call them forecasts about what this winter will be like based on what you're seeing happening at the polls and elsewhere?
It's certainly a very challenging forecast since this is an unusual event that we've been having. But these typically do relate to more cold air outbreaks and more the weather gets stickier. So kind of whatever weather pattern you're under, you tend to be under it for a longer period of time, whether it's warm or cold. And so it certainly does look like there's a better chance of colder weather in the coming weeks.
And Trent, same question for you. Any forecast for Illinois specifically that you're looking at?
Yeah, the outlooks for the next couple of weeks out to the month of February are looking a little bit different than what we see in December and January. Colder than average is the highest odds, as well as wetter than average. And so I think a little bit more active end to winter than what we've seen as far as the first half of winter.
All right. Trent Ford is the Illinois State Climatologist. We've also been speaking with Carl Schreck, who's a weather scientist with North Carolina State University and part of NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information. Carl and Trent, thanks so much for being with us and talking about the polar vortex today.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today and for this week. Before we go, I want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We hear interesting things from listeners. It does inform our coverage. You can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. You can also stay up to date with us on Twitter. To follow us, just search for 21st Show. That's 21ST Show. We tweet links and analysis and background about what we've been talking about. That link, every other way to contact us, it's all at our website, 21stshow.org, which, by the way, has been newly redesigned. Thank you to the web team at Illinois Public Media for that. It makes segments really stand out and easier to find the conversations we've been having on the show. Please do visit us at 21stshow.org. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantel Vaca is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.